was this guy, and he's standing before St. Peter, and St. Peter says to him, "So, give me an account of the good things you've done in your life." And the guy goes, "Well, Peter says, "Well, did you give to charity? Did you give at church?" And went down a list of stuff, and the guy, he wasn't coming up with much. Peter says, "Look, come on, work with me here. I'm trying to get you in the gates." He says, "Give me something good you did." He goes, "Well, maybe. I was driving down the road, and I saw these guys, big, nasty guys, like hoodlum biker kind of guys, and they were harassing this lady, and somebody grabbed her purse," and he says, "I don't know. I just slammed on my brakes, and I jumped out and pulled out a tire iron, and I marched right over there. Pulled the gal away from the big guy who had a hold of her, and I held up a tire iron, and I said, 'Stop it.'" He says, the guy says, "You don't want to mess with me, man." He says, "I clocked him right up the side of the head with a tire iron. Got that woman away from them." And he goes, "Really?" St. Peter says, "That's amazing. When did you do that?" "Oh, about 3 minutes ago." Yeah. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to start out with a verse here in Colossians that's just always meant a ton to me. And if you don't have this one marked in your Bible, mark it down. By the way, while you're turning there, if you have friends who are on Facebook and you can share on Facebook, we are streaming live. So that's a good thing. Welcome to all the people on Facebook who are joining us. You know, that's the crazy thing. There's more and more as we go on. So if I say welcome now, it's like half the people who will join us won't see that. And we do have quite a few people who look at it after the fact and look at it briefly during the time that we're here. So, it's good that we're doing Facebook. Colossians chapter 3, are you there? Here, I'm going to touch something here. Here we go. Oh, no. Here we go. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So I know that over the years I have quoted this verse quite a few times. And as it is, I'm growing in my understanding of things. I am so glad that somewhere along the line someone said something to me that made me realize that I have not arrived and that I cannot expect to arrive probably while I'm still in this body. I just have this idea that there's always something more for me to find out. And it does bother me a little bit that some Christians, I think, you know, they kind of have it down. They've got their, if you will, systematic theology that says, you know, A plus B plus C plus D, everything's in a nice order. And it all makes sense. And my experience is the deeper I've gotten into God, the less I know I understand. Not the less I understand, but the less I know that I think I'm solid, completely figured this out, kind of. You know, no, I'm still growing in him. He's showing me nuances and differences in my thinking. And when I was a kid, you know, there were a lot of things that were pretty simple. You went to church, there was a guy with a collar. The guy with a collar was a minister, and you weren't. You know, that's kind of how it was. There was a track for ministry. You went to school, you went to college, you made a plan, you became a minister. There was clergy, and then there was laity. Most of you know I don't believe in that anymore. I in fact, believe that the idea of laity came from the Nicolaitans. And Jesus had something to say about the Nicolaitans in Revelation. He said, "The ways of the Nicolaitans I hate. I don't believe there's supposed to be a big dramatic difference between quote-unquote clergy and laity, because I believe we're all ministers. And we move in and out of ministry responsibility. And some of us have responsibilities that are different than the others, but all of our responsibility in ministry is just really important. So most of you know I've been harping on that a little bit. And I want all of you to think of yourselves as full-time ministers. And I believe you can, and I believe you're benefited by it. And so I also want you to figure out kind of what ministry looks like for you. But today I'm gonna expand on that maybe in a little bit further than I've ever done it before. Most churches find out what people's gifts are in their church. They try to find the people in the church, and they try to figure out what their gifts are. And then they try to plug those gifts into what they're doing at the church and take advantage of those gifts. And I'm not saying that's completely wrong. It's not. To a degree, we do it too. We look for people who have abilities in certain areas, and then we move them into some things that we do when we gather together or that we do as outreach from the church or whatever we're doing. That's how they grow their church in a lot of cases too, is by figuring out your thing and then plugging your thing into their thing, and so it becomes our thing. And I have a problem with thinking like that. Maybe it's because I got saved in the Jesus movement and everything was so loosey-goosey in the Jesus movement. I do want you to grow. And I believe that if you're growing personally, that you'll cause the kingdom to grow. If you're growing personally, then you'll start to take territory away from the enemy, and you'll bring it into the kingdom of God. When Adam was first assigned, he was given the job to subdue the earth. And then the enemy pulled his shenanigans. And then the second Adam came and reinstated us to the place where the goal is for us to bring the earth into relationship with God. Bring everything into that kingdom perspective. I also believe that if we grow individually, and as a result the kingdom grows, then this church should naturally grow too. And it could be argued that we're growing it backwards. And I'm not worried about that, because I'm more worried about you than I am about our numbers. I really want you to experience something where you're growing more. Many people, by the way, want a church where they can plug in. They want a church where they can plug in to do their thing at the church and then unplug when they go home. I come and I plug in, I do my thing, I go home. I don't know whether you've heard this terminology, but a lot of people talk about this in the secular world, compartmentalization, where people can compartmentalize everything that they do. So that this is what I do here, and this is what I do there, and that really isn't with this, and this isn't really with that, and I've got a problem there because all my stuff just slops everything over into the other. It's always been that way for me. So some people want churches that offer activities that allow them to plug in so they can stick themselves in for this period of time and then pull themselves out without any, you know, worry of extra responsibility or anything. What I want to see is, I want to see God's people, every person who has come to realize that God loves them and has come to name his name, I want to see all of them plugged in full time. Like just all the time. Constantly. Every second. Today's text talks about that idea. I guess my question is, are we getting it? Even a question to myself, am I getting it? Am I getting it? Like, do I get it that everything is ministry? That I do everything, I mean everything as unto the Lord. That I can at least do that, whether I do it or not. Do I see myself as ministering 24/7, 365? Do I Do I even want to have that? Huh, that sounds like a lot of work. Pastor Tim, give us a break. You know, come on. 365, 24/7, really? It just, do I have to do something for God all the time? No, no, you don't have to. And if you're anything like me, you probably don't. But what if you did? What will our lives look like if we're more plugged into Him than anything else? In fact, what will our lives look like if everything we do is plugged into Him? I mean, everything. The thing is sometimes it's hard to see some of the stuff that we have to do as being something we can even do unto Him. I mean, it's hard to see, maybe this is the way I need to say it. It's hard to see what we do, we humans, we ants, as having any real value to Him. So how can we do all that we do when what we do may not seem like it is all that Christian? So, like, can you make coffee in the name of Jesus? Oh, some people are like, hey, my coffee's all made in the name of Jesus, and I love coffee. Thank you, God, for coffee. I just worship and praise you with coffee and with my voice and a lot of coffee. Some people need a lot of coffee to get going. I've come to like a kind of a coffee-ish drink. It's heavy whipping cream and coconut milk and a spoonful of coffee and lots of sweetener. It's like a gas station cappuccino without the sugar. Yeah, it's good. I like it. So I'm starting to finally like coffee at 62 years old. Maybe by the time I'm like 124, I'll be able to drink it black. It's going to take me a while with the amount of coffee I'm putting in there. But you know, what would it look like if every time we made coffee, we made it in the name of Jesus? Oh, stop being silly. I'm not being silly. I'm being scriptural. Do all that you do.
Turn the coffee into wine.
Yeah. Do all that you do in the name of Jesus. For some people, it might as well be wine. The way they drink is like, woohoo, gotta have some coffee. Look at the verse again. It says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Giving thanks to God the Father. What if everything we did was accompanied with giving thanks? Like, what if we were just this constantly aware of how good God is kind of people who were constantly giving thanks to God? Now, some of you, you know, you do like coffee enough that you probably almost do give thanks every time you have some. Yeah, I know some people like that. I got a cousin, she posts all the time on Facebook. If you ever listen to this, Diane, it's you. And, you know, she's always posting about coffee. I'm thinking, she must have an addiction to coffee. I don't know. She loves coffee. But what if everything was accompanied with thanksgiving? What if we recognized everything as something that we did unto the Lord and we thanked Him? Suddenly, thanksgiving would be connected to everything, and everything would be connected to God through thanksgiving. It's kind of a crazy idea, I suppose. But when we give thanks, we invite the presence of God onto whatever we're giving thanks for. Let me say that again. When we give thanks, we're inviting the presence of God onto and into whatever we're giving thanks for. Wow. And that's everyday stuff that becomes everyday kingdom stuff. Come on. Can everyday stuff become everyday kingdom stuff? What happens if we start having everything connected to the kingdom? What happens when we take the natural and we add the supernatural breath of God onto everything that we're doing? Everything moves into a new level when God's added to it. Going back to that coffee thing. Some of you know, you love coffee, but if you pour just this little bit of something in it, you know, some of you got your stuff that you pour in it, you put in it, and then, oh, yeah. Oh, that's heaven right there. Right? Some of you maybe can't relate to that, but some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It, you know, the coffee was good, and then you added something to it, and now, oh, yeah. The return of God can't be far behind. This is great, you know. So the thing is, what if you add God to everything like that? Think about it. I'm adding God to everything that I'm doing. I'm adding God to everything that I'm saying. I'm adding God to everything that I'm thinking. Everything. Everything. In word or deed. Every action. Every activity. Everything that I'm talking about. God gets in the middle of it. And it becomes kingdom stuff. Remember the commercial? Everything's better with Blue Bonnet on it. Everything's better with God's Spirit on it. I'm just saying. So like when the dog leaves you a present in the house and you have to clean it up. The question is, can you really do that in the name of Jesus? Well, the question is, can you really give thanks instead of cursing the dog? Kicking at it. Stupid dog. What if instead of looking at this, you know, rather stinky opportunity as something that you just launch into negativity in, what if you're like, you know, it could be worse. I don't know. I'm not, you know, what if you just said, thank you, Lord, that I have the ability to take care of this problem. And I'm going to take care of it. And I'm not going to complain or grumble. First Peter 2:12. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. Love the Passion Translation. I've been reading it more lately. Live honorable lives as you mix with unbelievers, even though they accuse you of being evildoers. You know, sometimes unbelievers will pick on you and accuse you of stuff. And even say what you believe is bad. Especially in these days. They'll pick on you. They assume they know what it means if you say you're a Christian. And then they want to be negative towards you. For they will see your beautiful works and have a reason to glorify God in the day he visits us. Wow. So you're over there on dog duty. You're the one who has to pick it up. And some unbeliever sees you not complaining. Sees you smiling. Sees you being so different than they would be. They see you and they start to think, why do they react that way instead of this way? Why do they behave themselves differently than other people I know? Why is it that they don't let everything turn them into a grouch? See, everything, even the nasty stuff, everything could be and will be, if we'll let it, used to glorify God. So no matter what you think of out there, I don't think there's anything that you can do unless you're sinning, which, by the way, if in everything I try to glorify God, if everything I'm doing is trying to glorify God, then when I come up to something that I know won't glorify God, I have identified that as exactly what it is, haven't I? Oh, yeah, that would be bad. That wouldn't be good for God, and it wouldn't be good for me, and it wouldn't be good for the kingdom, and maybe I don't want to go there right now or ever. So when people are watching us, it opens doors for the kingdom. And if we do everything that we do as unto the Lord, it opens doors for the kingdom. Look, I want you to raise the dead. I want you to cast out demons. I want us all to get to walk on water and heal the sick. God wants you to do great things, and he said so. You'll do great things and greater things because Jesus goes to the Father. Jesus said that. I get all that. But while we're looking for opportunity to do great things, what if we did everything great? While we're looking for opportunities to do great things, what if we did everything we do great? Everything. You know, when you go to work, it might be a miracle. How many of you work at places where if people show up, it's a miracle? Like, boy, I hope somebody shows up today. Yeah, oh, wow, the whole crew is here. That's a miracle. Yeah. We kind of live in that day, don't we? In some places, a miracle is just a place where people actually just do their job. That's just a miracle for the people who hired them. They show up on time. They're ready to work for their employers. They're not grumbling. They're not complaining. You could be a miracle worker. Not just a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Like, you go to work, you're a worker there, and it's a miracle because they don't have to deal with you constantly. They don't have to put up with you constantly. They don't have to handle your stuff constantly. In fact, you're helping handle their stuff. You're making things work for them. They're so amazed. They're like, wow, this is really, like, this person's amazing. What is it about them that's different? They do everything in word or deed as unto the Lord. It's a crazy idea, I know, but you can do it. You can do it. That's for that guy who tuned in just now and heard me saying that. Some of you may remember this. Todd White saying, he said, what if you realize that you're working for the man and not just for the man? And what if you're J-O-B? Becomes your L-O-V-E. Wow. But Brother Tim, I work in a dark, evil place. I know. That's why you're there, to be a light. It's awesome. And where the darkness abounded, the scripture says, grace did much more abound. What an opportunity. And again, today I'm suggesting it's more than just about your job. Jobs are 40-hour a week things. Well, some of you wish, right? Maybe a little bit more. They are big parts of our lives, but they are not the totality of our lives, and they don't really define who we are. You're more than your job. Whatever it is you do or whatever it is you've ever done, you are always more than whatever that was. There's more to you than meets the eye. So, what if I drive down Baltimore Street as unto the Lord? I might have somebody behind me in a hurry if I'm driving as unto the Lord, because I'll probably drive 35 if I'm driving as unto the Lord. And then there'll probably be somebody like the sweet young woman in the white car. Was it Wednesday? I pulled off of Dietrich onto Baltimore and sped up to 35 and reached that and stopped. She was doing about 50 coming off of Holgate onto Baltimore. She was in a hurry. She came right up behind her, and then you could just see her. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you, old guy? Yeah. Come on, Grandpa. Get in gear. I'm going someplace. I got things to do, people to see, places to go. Yeah, and then she saw it was a hybrid. He must be peddling that thing. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to worry about her. I'm going to let God handle her. And I'm going to worry about me. And if I get behind somebody and I'm in a hurry, like that has happened. My wife can testify. I have been in a hurry. And I was behind somebody and I'm pushing it, you know. Now, normally I'm going the speed limit and they're going 10 miles an hour under. And I've got a reason to be angry. Or do I? Not really. See, if I'm driving under the Lord and somebody's slowing me down, even if it's unnecessarily slowing me down, like not according to the law, they're just going. How many of you have been behind one of those little blue-haired old ladies who's just barely able to see where she's going? And she's just, you know, I like to stop when those cars, I follow them and I stop and hand them a card, say, hey, this is my name. You're going to die one of these days and this car is going to have been barely driven. Can I have it? No, just kidding. I don't do that. It's really bad. I haven't done that, ever. Thought about it a lot, but I've never done it. No. Wouldn't do that. But see, you can get really, if your driving's under the Lord, then you have no reason to get grumpy. Like if your driving's under the Lord, then you're driving where he wants you to go as unto him. And if you're going to be a little bit late, that's not a problem for him. He can handle that. How many think God can handle that? Yeah, but I want to handle it. And I want to handle it by yelling, which doesn't help because she can't hear me anyway. My wife's like, shut up already. But the lady in front, she can't hear me. I'm not helping. She's going to use this on me. I'm promising you. She's like, wait till he gets grumpy sometime. I'm going to say, are you driving us unto the Lord? And it's on Facebook. Yeah, everybody can. Well, they have to ride with me to be able to use it against me. You can grocery shop for Jesus. You can mow grass for Jesus. You can vacuum the house for Jesus. Hallelujah. We can do each and every mundane, dull, and boring task as unto the Lord by acknowledging him and adding thanksgiving into the mix. Cool, huh? That's a great idea. But I want to do something great. Luke 16:10. The one who manages, this is the Passion Translation again, the one who manages the little he has been given with faithfulness and integrity will be promoted and trusted with the greater responsibilities. But those who cheat with the little they have been given will not be considered trustworthy to receive more. I want to raise the dead. Okay. But first, go scoop up that dead mouse and take it over there. Or raise the mouse. You could try that. Take a shot at it. When I became a Christian, I became more than just a person who was going to heaven. Maybe it was the revival I was in. Maybe it was the time that I became a Christian in. When I walked forward, it wasn't in my head that I was going to get out of going to hell. It really wasn't. It was that he was calling me. That he was calling me to something substantial, significant, something powerful. That I wanted to be his disciple, not just his believer. I didn't have any plan to go into full-time ministry. Didn't have a plan. In fact, at one point I was trying to figure out what it would look like, and I literally asked a young man who had been going to a seminary who showed up at that revival or another revival close to it, I can't remember for sure, and I said something about thinking maybe I should be a pastor, and he says, don't do it, or at least don't go to seminary. They'll just take the life right out of you. Just keep your fire and love God. So I did. I just wanted to keep my fire more than anything. So I went out and I ministered in school to my eighth grade friends. And then I ministered to my ninth grade friends, and I ministered all through high school, and I wanted everybody to know Jesus. I just wanted everybody to know Jesus. And Jesus continued to be the center of my life after I graduated from school. And most of you have heard me talk about how Jesus was on my mind all the time. I've witnessed about God being in the middle of my dating life. And I'm very happy that God was in the middle of my dating life. He saved me from a lot of stupid and gave me the best wife ever for me. She's over there nodding, yep, that's true. She's right. She's amazing. He led me to the perfect person to be in full-time ministry with, even though neither of us were thinking of full-time ministry traditionally. And yet God opened doors. By the time I was 24 years old, I was pastoring, and I didn't do anything to get myself there that I knew of. I just was loving Jesus. So I didn't follow that predetermined educational, you know, follow the steps here, you'll become this kind of a thing. I just God did what he wanted to do. When everything is full-time ministry, it actually and naturally leads to full-time ministry. I'm not saying it leads to vocational ministry. I'm just saying if you're in full-time ministry, pretty soon you're just in full-time ministry all the time. Sometimes vocationally for a season or in and out or whatever. It's kind of the way it works. When we all step into the all that God has for us, it's way better for us. Because we have his spirit, his anointing, his presence traveling with us. So whatever we run up against, it's better. It's better than that Christmas and Easter Christianity, or that weekly services Christianity, or even that, dare I say it, revival services every night for years and years Christianity. Because even revival services every night for years and years Christianity can be, you know, something I do every evening, and then I can, during the day, I can get unaware if I want. I don't know anybody specific who's done that, and it might be kind of hard. But if we become moment by moment Christians, moment by moment Christianity is just what we do. It's just who we are. Not even a matter of what we do. It's who we are. It's so much a part of who we are that it naturally affects everything that we do. Then crazy things start to happen. But again, sometimes we have to think about it a little bit, because we have this tendency to disconnect momentarily because we're doing stuff. There's stuff that's got to be done. You know, we got to take care of this, got to take care of that. You know, and again, you probably, until this morning, none of you have ever had to pick up dog duty and thought, as unto the Lord, hallelujah. You're probably still working on that. I'll let you process that one. But I just did what God wanted me to do, and he promoted me where he wanted me to be, which I think is what he does with all of us if we're just really sensitive to what he wants to do. And when we step into all God has for us, it's good. So I've spent every moment of my life. No, I haven't. That might be the question. Have you spent every moment of your life focused on God? I can guarantee you I haven't. Consciously doing what I did is unto the Lord? No. I'm quite sure that I haven't done that. But I haven't unconsciously wandered through life either. I haven't unconsciously wandered through life. Weekly, I have an opportunity, and always have had an opportunity, to be made aware of him in things like we're doing right now, part of what God had in mind for us. So on a weekly basis, I wasn't unaware. I can't remember a time in my life where church wasn't part of my life. And so really the entirety of my life, even before I like to say I got saved at 14, baptized in the Holy Spirit on my 14th birthday, spoke in tongues. I know that actually I was probably, like, I would have made heaven before that. God would have, because I got saved a lot of times before that. You know, went to a lot of revivals and got saved. But you know, I had this conscious thing come on me at that point in my life. And so weekly, I've given myself opportunities for a lot of years, three times a week. How many of you did that for a lot of years? Three times a week you were in church. And then daily, a lot of us are good at reading our Bibles daily and developing a devotional thing with God so that daily we spend time with Him and have this daily thing going on. And for the last couple of years, even before that, I got a gizmo while back, probably about 10 or 12 years ago, that I carried around for a while. I found out now I can do it with my phone. I've got a thing that goes off every so often in my pocket. Tells me to take a drink. And I do. Now, sometimes I do it really strong. I take a big drink. Come on! Woo! And sometimes I just look down at it, and I'm in the middle of a conversation with someone, and I just go, come on! No, I don't always do that when I'm in the middle of a conversation. Sometimes I just click it and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I just thank Him. And, you know, with all of us having phones nowadays, we can do that. So every hour I'm being reminded of who I am and what it is I do. I'm being reminded all the time. And, you know, it's not just weekly, it's not just daily, it's not just every hour. I wander around this building sometimes when there's things that I have to do during the week, and I just wander around praying in the Spirit. Or I'll just be driving down the highway praying in the Spirit. Or I plug in podcasts and listen to great men of God and women of God who have got incredible things to say that fire me up and keep me aware of God's presence. And I love summertime mowing because that's one of my favorite places to do podcasts. I know it's going to take about an hour to mow my grass, a little over. And I just put a couple of headphones in. I got these big earmuffs that I put over, and I wander around the yard with this thing in front of me, chewing up grass while I'm paying attention to God. There's really never been a time, I think, this is kind of crazy. You know, you've heard me talk about a guy named Brother Lawrence, and Brother Lawrence did everything as under the Lord. You know, he was a monk in, you know, the Middle Ages, and so they did all the same stuff. You know, they had to cut wood and clean things and take care of things and you know, wash dishes and prepare food. And they said when you were in this guy's presence that he was always in God's presence. And there was just such an awareness of God's presence when you were around this God. Somebody says, oh, yeah, it'd be easy to do back then. Would it? I don't know. But I know it's not as hard as we might think now if we want to. I mean, when have you ever been able to take preaching with you everywhere you go and listen to it? Or worship music. And we have some really good worship music that's available to us. A lot of you, even at work, you can listen to a little bit of worship music in the background. Keep yourself aware. Some of you can't do that. I get it. I wrote this down, put it in bold letters. I want to read it to you. God consciousness can lead us to more awareness of His presence, which leads to doing things that we do in His name, which leads to us being entrusted to do greater and greater things as God promotes us because we were faithful in a little. Every little thing could be an opportunity to make a big difference. Every little thing could be an opportunity to make a big difference. When we are faithful to add His super to our natural, we really do make everything supernatural. Supernatural brushing your teeth. Why not? Why not? Everything could be done as unto Him. And that's why in this room we have supernatural moms and supernatural dads. We probably have some supernatural factory workers. And there might be somebody at the factory or wherever you're working who's watching you, and they're seeing something about you that's not quite normal. Look at somebody next to you and say, "You're not normal." Yeah, you're not. Something about you is not normal. You're not normal. You can be a supernatural retiree. You can be a supernatural salesperson and bring his super into that natural experience. You can be supernatural secretaries and supernatural auto mechanics and supernatural students. And even though we don't have a lot of the kids in this room, there's still time for our kids to hear this message and be more of that. I might talk about this a little bit tonight, Jake. He'd be like, "Yeah, I get the rerun thing." So I want to take this end of the service time to just talk about some supernatural stuff that happened yesterday. Because Kathy was here, and supernaturally our windows are clean. No. she did put some super into the natural, though, and I was thankful that she did that and some other stuff probably. And Dave went into the men's restroom and did a repaint that needed to be done. And I don't know what else Dave may have done. Dave does a lot of stuff around here. And he bobbed all the trees outside. I have pictures before, and you can see the after. They look a lot better. Just look really good. And he had Carson working with him, and, you know, he clipped them all. It was amazing. I mean, Jeremiah at one point went home to get his truck, and by the time he got back, Bob had them all done at one. But we needed the truck anyway. And Aiden went around the outside of the building spraying for bugs. And we also got some inside spraying done for bugs. So we'll start to push off the pesky bugs that have been starting to come in the building because it's that time of year. And Aiden also did some vacuuming, didn't you? Yeah, he was working at it. He was doing the little stuff. And yeah, like I said, Carson picked up for his grandpa and drug stuff over. And then when Jeremiah brought the truck, they chipped it all up and got rid of it, made it all disappear. It was really nice. Jeremiah, he worked on the light out here, got it working. And then we replaced a ceiling tile in the foyer here. And we went up because there was a leak, and we daubed up what we thought was the leak. And have you been out there in the foyer, Jeremiah? Yeah, we didn't find it. But we tried. Pray that we find the leak. It's some of these leaks, they can start, you know, in the middle of the roof and work their way downhill and just come out in one spot. Yeah, we didn't quite get it. I know Jeremiah did some other stuff, and Alyssa was running around knocking down cobwebs, and hopefully now there won't be as many spiders because there won't be as many bugs or spiders getting in. You know, got them all down. She worked on cleaning toys, and I know she had her head stuck in a stove back there along with my wife. And she was cleaning the whole kitchen back there. And Lisa Davis went into the back room, way back the hallway at the end of the hall. And she reorganized that room. We do that about once every million years. Did you see it, Dave? You might actually find something in there when you're looking for it now. Yeah, it looks really good. It was crazy good. And Matt was out here with John, and there was a lot of work. We worked actually two other days this week, John and I, and we got rid of some wires and redid a few things. And, you know, I'm really excited not to have as many wires to trip over. That just makes me really happy. And so there was a lot of stuff going on yesterday. And I don't know. I hope I didn't forget anybody. Oh, I do know that Carla and Ayla were here, and they kept each other busy so their mom didn't have to put up with them. Did they help in the nursery some? Okay, yeah. I didn't. I know at one point I saw them playing at a table, and I was just asking them. Yeah, they played, you know. Well, I mean, that kept you from having to chase them around, which meant we got to have you. And, you know, that's the thing. I mean, we had some super people here taking care of stuff in the natural. And that faithfulness just blessed me so much. It really did. And I know some of you would have loved to have been here. You couldn't be, whatever, and I get it. But I'm just thankful. And I just want to encourage you, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever day it is, whatever hour of the day it is, whatever you're thinking about doing, be the one who turns that into something that becomes kingdom. And I'll tell you this too. I believe whatever temptations or battles you might be having, if you turn everything that you're doing into kingdom, it doesn't leave a lot of room for the devil. The Bible says make no room for the devil. It doesn't leave him any room when we do that. It just makes him frustrated because he tries to do things to you and you end up giving thanks to God and turning that thing into a kingdom thing. Instead of kicking that dog, you turn it into a kingdom thing. It's crazy, I know, but I believe it'll work for you as well as work for the kingdom. I believe it'll make your life happier. I believe you'll be the one with joy. You'll be the one with peace. You'll be the one who glorifies God. And you'll be the one in full-time ministry everywhere you go. Amen?